Praise the Lord this morning, 105. Let's all stand together if you're physically able to. 105, oh come all you faithful. In the blue hymn book. Oh, come on, ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye, faithful. Come and behold him, for the King of ages. Oh, come, let us adore. The reason for the season, Jesus coming to earth to be born as a baby. Leilani? Amen. You can spend it with your family. That's good. Carl?
Be safe for the holiday. You can travel and all that stuff.
Okay. All right. Jim? Okay, all right. Blessings from God. Who else? What are you thankful for? Yes, Aaron. Amen. Brother Jerry. Jesus never fails. Yes, Myra.
I'm thankful for everyone in the church that prays for my son. He just moved into his new apartment.
Amen. That's a wonderful answer to prayer. What a blessing. God is answering. Anyone else? Yes, Carol.
For the peace, the joy, and the hope that Jesus brings.
Amen. It's good to have Roy back at home, right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank God for that. Roy is back home. Out of the rehab. Amen. Joe. Amen. It's good to have Joe back with us. So thanks for having Joe back. Amen. Amen. All right, let us sing that third verse, 105. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Yea,
Lord, we greet
Thank you.
out together in prayer. Pastor Logan, would you please lead us in prayer? You may be seated. Let us sing 124 in our blue hymn book. 124. Frankincense, very expensive and very healing. It was like the heal-all medicine back then was frankincense. Very expensive, but very great for healing properties in the body. Gold, of course, we know what gold is for. To very, very costly and very expensive, and it can buy anything. Now let's look at myrrh. Kids, 12th grade and younger, and teens. Louder, kids. Christians through the past, present, and future centuries who are up in heaven, and all of us praising the Lord together. Wow, it's going to be wonderful. So wonderful to look forward to. So let us turn at this time, before we start our program, we just want to turn to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. We have seen his star. Beautiful bulletin there to remind us that Jesus Christ is the one who we are to worship. Wise men and women still seek Jesus. And that's who we're seeking today, Christ. And that's what the message will be about today, the Christ of Christmas. Four acts, the actions of Christ that he did for us. Does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you if you need one. We have seen his star. Just by way of announcements, we praise the Lord for the great time we had caroling at Meadowview on Thursday night. Who would like to share a blessing from the caroling time? Anyone want to share? We gave out a lot of cookies, and we gave the gospel, and we sang. Who wants to share a little bit about that? Okay. Good to have Lamar and Tim and Hodges there with us. And praise the Lord. Three people got saved on Thursday night through those cookies and through the Born of God booklet. So we're so thankful. Thank you for each one who made or brought cookies. Then also keep praying for Arthur. He was hoping to be here today. His daughter Karen was too as well. Pray for her and pray for him. Pray for Roy. He got home on Friday. Do you want to give us an update, Carol, on how Roy's doing? Just by way of other announcements, come on back tonight, 7 o'clock. There is no choir practice, by the way, choir till the new year, till January. No choir practice. Thank you for all your hard work, choir, for last 2 months. Thank you so much. And then we will be meeting tonight, 7 p.m., for our evening service. We look at the life of David, the God's providence in David's life in 1 Samuel 24. And then we're looking forward to the program in a few minutes. Then this Thursday night, we're going around caroling to shut-ins in our church or elderly in our church. That's at 6:30. Meet here at the church at 6:30 and come with us caroling. I guarantee you'll get more blessed just by going and singing to someone who may need encouragement than you will get from that they will get. You'll probably get more of a blessing or just as much as they will. Then our Christmas dinner is next Sunday already, December 22nd. So we do have a sign-up list. One of our ushers can get that list and Carol made up a new color sheet of the different ingredients. So we're going to transpose of what people signed up for last week. She already did. Okay. So where is the list currently?
On the table. There's two clipboards.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So if someone, if we can pass them around now, and that way you can plan what you're going to be bringing. So make sure it doesn't stop anywhere. Sometimes we pass the clipboards around and they get stopped somewhere. So pass it around to the whole congregation. So that way everyone can take a look, see what still is needed, and if they haven't signed up for anything. And everyone brings something. If you can bring a bag of chips, a soda, a dessert, or whatever you can bring, bring something, and or a side dish or a main dish, that would be great. All right, then next Tuesday is Christmas Eve. We will be having a Christmas Eve candlelight service Tuesday, December 24th at 7 p.m. So we invite you out for that time of singing Christmas carols, reading about Jesus, and the preaching of Christ at Christmas. That's at 7 p.m. next Tuesday. Then we do have a Christmas card box out in the hallway. If you'd like to make some Christmas cards, that box is out in the hallway. You can put those in there next week, and then we'll put them out on the table next week. If you'd like to make Christmas cards, or if you just want to make one Christmas card, we can put it on the bulletin board. That you can do that as well. And that card box is out in the hallway. Then on New Year's Eve, Tuesday, December 31st, 2 weeks from Tuesday, we'll be having a Christian evangelistic movie, either a missionary story or a Christian hero story. And then we'll have dinner right after the movie, and then we will close the service with testimonies and a challenge from the Word of God. So we invite you out on New Year's Eve, Tuesday, December 31st, right here at 6 p.m. Then we also have beautiful color calendars. 2020 calendars just came in this week, so I'd encourage you to pick up one or two of these beautiful calendars, and each month has a beautiful picture with an encouraging Bible verse on it, and plenty of space that you can write in your appointments or your whatever you have going on each week. So it's just a beautiful calendar. So take one or two of these, they're right out back on the table there. This time we'll end, and this is a gift from the church. So we thank you for coming, and it's a gift from the church to you. Yes, Carol.
Two things. First of all, prayer request. Actually, it's Holly's prayer request for one of her staff members, Anaya. She might want to give us an update. Anaya had to go to the hospital last night. Do you know how she's doing, Holly?
Okay, she's pregnant and she fell. Is that what happened?
She went on some water yesterday, last night.
Okay.
Right,
so we'll, as we pray for the offering, we'll pray for Anaya.
And then one more thing. On Wednesday, I know it's a difficult time for most people, but Wednesday at 10:30, we will also be caroling at Atlantic Adult Daycare.
Okay, so that's an opportunity for those that are at Atlantic. If you're there, if you're going to carol with us, okay, we'll go around to the tables and sing some songs. And then we'll go back after about 20 minutes of that. We'll go back and have our service. All right. This time we'll ask our ushers as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. And then right after the offering, or as the offering is being taken, after the offering is being taken, the choir can come up and sit in your places. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear God, we give you thanks for the day that you have made, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be in your house to worship you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to bless this time of giving as we give back to you, Lord, a portion of that which you have given to us. We ask your blessing on each gift and on each giver. And to you, Lord, we give you the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
this time we'll ask our choir to come at this time. And then the young people can go to the back. So the kids and the teens that aren't in the choir go to the back of the room, and those in the choir come to the front of the room. Okay, kids, let's gather around to open some presents. Well, this nativity scene, I grew up knowing that Christmas was about the birth of Jesus.
Who is Jesus?
Well, it's...
His story is in a book called the Bible. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I wish I could, but your mom and I didn't go to church much at all. Wait, yesterday at work, one of my coworkers gave me a beautiful pamphlet about the Maybe that will have something in it.
I love a good story. Yes, it sounds interesting.
Okay, let's read it now. Now we're going to sing Silent Night. It's in your blue hymn book. 200. There, you can sing with us. We're going to sing the first and the third verse of Silent Night in the blue hymn book. And 100 and.
Sing the beautiful carol, Silent Night. How lovely the sound! And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
Christ was born as a baby into this world to carry out the will of his heavenly Father. Jesus talks about it in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. He tells about the body that God the Father had prepared for him. Hebrews 10:5 and following says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin that which not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Jesus and the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then tell the meaning of the Old Testament sacrifices. They were pictures to point to Christ coming to earth and giving his perfect body and blood as a sacrifice once for all the sins of all who would come to him for salvation. Then he said, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us.
Yeah.
his public ministry at 30 years old and ministered for the next 3 years. He was tireless and compassionate as he loved all mankind. Here are a few examples. In Matthew 20, verse 34, it says, "So Jesus had compassion on two blind men and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." In Mark 6, 34, it says, And Jesus, when he came out, he saw people around Jerusalem and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. In Luke 7, 13 through 15, it says, "And when the Lord saw her, the widow, who now also lost her only son, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier or casket, and it that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother." 3 years later, the soldiers and religious leaders had no compassion for Jesus, the all-compassionate one, and instead mocked him. As it says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. But Jesus, full of compassion, knew that he had to die for our sins, and did it willingly. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Was sinless, yet he chose to take my sins. He loved me that much that he died for me when I was yet a sinner. I owe a debt I could not pay. He paid the debt he did not owe.
Thank you.
Dear wife and kids, I had no idea that we are all lost sinners and that no amount of good works can save us, but only Jesus and his precious blood on the cross. I am ready to receive Jesus as my Savior right now. Would anyone else like to do that with me? Wonderful. Well, let's get down on our knees and we'll pray and ask him to save us. Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner. Worthy of nothing but your judgment.
Worthy of nothing but your judgment.
In hell.
In hell.
As the Bible says.
As the Bible says.
But I believe.
But I believe.
That Jesus died on the cross.
That Jesus died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
And rose again.
And rose again.
I realize I can do nothing to save myself.
I realize I can do nothing to save myself.
Please forgive me of all my sin against. I am repenting.
I am repenting.
And believing on Jesus as my personal Savior.
And believing on Jesus as my personal Savior.
Take control of my life this day.
Take control of my life this day.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Hebrews chapter 10 as we conclude.
Jesus did so much for us. That's why it's called Christmas, the Christ coming to earth. Hebrews 10, we see four actions that Jesus did when he came to earth. Four actions of Christ. You said, I thought he was a baby. I didn't know he did anything. Yes, he did. There's four actions that we see here in Hebrews chapter 10 that Christ did for each one of us. And we will see them this morning. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word. We thank you for each one who has come today to worship you, Lord. We thank you that we can worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you have brought us here. We pray that you be with each health problem that each one is going through, each doubt, discouragement, perhaps sin problem, or any other burden that's on our heart this morning. We pray we would give it to you, as you are the one that can solve all our problems. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son to die for us on the cross, to come to earth as a baby. Lord, help us to appreciate more of what Jesus did this Christmas, even now as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
A day was dawning on a battlefield in northern France through a fog so thick that no one could see more than a few yards from the trenches. In the night, the Germans had drawn back their lines a little, and the French had gone forward, but between the two positions, a lonely farmhouse was still standing. This was World War II. As the sun rose, heavy guns began to boom. But suddenly, on both sides, the firing ceased, and there fell a strange, dead silence. For there in the green meadow, crawling on its hands and knees, was a little baby. It appeared perfectly happy and contented, and the baby's laugh was heard as it clutched a dandelion. Not a shot was fired. How can two bitter, sworn enemies out to kill each other all of a sudden stop on a battlefield? Because a little baby broke through in the grass. That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. The first thing Jesus did in Hebrews 10, verse 6, it says in verse 5, Hebrews 10 and verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, Jesus, he saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So here we see, number one, Christ the Word willingly came, willingly took on his earthly body that God had prepared for him. Why did he take it on? He took it on with its limitations and its scorn. Do you realize that Jesus up in heaven, in the throne of God's room up there in heaven, that Jesus had all of his glory. He had all of his power. He had everything at his disposal. He had the benefits of being the Son of God with power and glory up in heaven. He created the world when God the Father and God the Holy Spirit created the world. It says in Colossians 1, by him all things were made.
Amen.
That were made. That we see that all things were made by Jesus. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. All things consist because of Jesus. But literally, Jesus left the right hand of God the Father to come down to be confined to a little baby's body. Can you imagine that? Which one of us in our right mind would do that? No. If we were God, we'd say, no, I'm going to stay God, and I'm going to exercise my power and authority. Well, Jesus did not. He did not cling to his power. He did not cling to his infinite, matchless power. Instead, he confined himself willingly to an earthly body with its limitations and with its scorn that would be attached. Do you realize that? That he knew what he was coming for. He knew he was going to get beat up. He knew he was going to get ridiculed. He knew that most people were probably not going to accept him. but he came anyway. And so Christ the Word willingly took on his earthly body. Wow, that's an amazing gift right there. That's an amazing gift that Christ willingly took on his earthly body. It says, one of the Christmas cards I got from one of our missionaries, the largest, says the Word did not become a philosophy, a theory, or a concept to be discussed, debated, or pondered, but the Word became a person to be followed, enjoyed, and loved. Do you realize that? Jesus, as his title is the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. And we beheld his glory. That Jesus didn't come to be a big debater. Jesus didn't come to be the one who would be the philosophy. No, Jesus came to be he is a person. So in Christianity, in biblical Christianity, we have the greatest of all beliefs and worship. Why? Because we're not worshiping a system or a set of rules or a set of philosophies. Instead, we are worshiping a person. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our great God the Father, the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. And so we have not a religion, but we have a person to be followed, enjoyed, and loved. And so here, willingly, Christ took on his earthly body, number one. Number two, you say, "How? I wish I could get into the mind of baby Jesus as he was there." Well, right here in Hebrews 10, we're literally getting into the mind of Jesus before, as he came as a baby. Verse 6, it says, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure." So what is Jesus saying here? He says, "I'm willingly taking on this body," but number two, why? Why is Jesus willingly taking on this human body? What does his Heavenly Father want? He wants his Son to sacrifice himself for our sins. That God the Father is not having pleasure in these burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. The burnt offerings in the Old Testament, that was a vivid picture of when that animal was killed and the blood was shed on the altar and then they burned that animal. That was a vivid picture of how sin has such horrific consequences. Our sin has horrific consequences. But then number two, it's such horrific consequences that it costs an animal its life. Well, literally those burnt offerings and then the other offerings, the meal offering, which symbolically presented the best fruits of human living to God. So the meal offering, they put their first fruits of their dough in there. They put the first fruits of the wheat, and they make it mingle fine flour, oil, and they bake it, and then they give that as an offering to God. They say, "Wow, that sounds like a great dish." It is. It is literally a dish that's prepared, the meal offering, for God to smell. But he did not does God want our best fruits of human living? Does he want us to just be good people? Is that enough?
No.
Could he be pleased with that meal offering?
No.
Even the best fruits of our human living as Christians is not enough to appease a holy God. And so you say, well, I can just be a good Christian and that will suffice. No, we need Jesus. Even as Christians, we need Jesus every day. We need to confess and forsake our sin. Because the best things we have to offer are nothing but a smell that will not be pleasing to God if it's not mingled with the blood of Christ. And so we see even the meal offering was not enough. And the peace offering, which celebrated the covering of sin, forgiveness by God, and the restoration of right relationship with God, was not enough. And then the sin offering, where they would literally, the worshiper would put their hand upon the animal, the right hand, and then symbolically they would place their sin on that animal. And then the priest would then kill that animal. Even that sin offering was not enough to atone for our sins. What were all those sacrifices? They were pictures of the one who would come on Passover. Passover week, sure enough, Jesus, when he died that week, the triumphal entry, do you know that was the 10th day of the month Nisan when Jesus was set aside. And then the 14th day of the week was the day that he died on the cross. Do you realize that? He died on the same day as the Passover animal was killed. And why? He wanted to show us that he was the final fulfillment of all those sacrifices. So here we see number two, Christ the Word knew God had no pleasure in mere symbolic sacrifices, and so he came to be that sacrifice. So if you think about it, Christmas is a very costly event. Okay, we love Christmas because we get to show people how much we love them and get a gift and work hard and buy that gift and try to do whatever we can to get someone something or make someone something or do something for somebody else. If we don't have the money to buy them something, we say, hey, I'll do a service for you. All right, you know, we work real hard to show people how much we love them, especially our children or our grandchildren. But do you realize that that's exactly what Jesus did for us? He gave everything to show us how much he loved us. He gave everything. He left his heavenly glory up in heaven. He left the right hand of God the Father. He left his infinite power, you know, on earth. He confined himself to human body as he walked around. Up in heaven, he could do anything he wanted. He could think it, and it was done. He could say it, and it would be done. On earth, he had to fight with people like the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He had to mingle and be with sinners where he loved to be. He loved to be with the sinners. Why? Because he shared it with them about himself, and immediately they'd be drawn to him. See, Jesus loved being around the sinners because they knew they needed a Savior. He didn't like being around the Pharisees because they didn't want to admit they needed a Savior. They were too proud, too stubborn. And so Jesus shows us what it's all about. There's another beautiful poem here. It says, "The king's gifts, bring him thy precious things and lay them at his feet. The gold of love, the hope that springs, the unknown ways to meet. Bring him thy lovely things, the joy that conquers care, the faith that trusts and sings, the frankincense of prayer. Bring him thy bitter things, the myrrh of grief and fears, the aching heart that stings with pain of unshed tears. These for thy gifts to him, and for his gifts to thee, the comfort of his steadfast love, his tender sympathy." What does Jesus want from us this Christmas? He wants everything. He wants us to give him our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our sin. Why? Because he wants to take them all and make all things new with them. He wants to take all of our problems and he wants us to bring them before his wonderful, infinite, powerful hands so that he can take our problems and say, "Thank you, my child. Here you go." And where he makes them and solves them for us. He wants a relationship with us. It's not about just getting saved. And we all perhaps thought back to that day we got saved when that family said that sinner's prayer and they believed on the Lord. You know, that we perhaps thought back on the day that we got saved. But you know what? It doesn't just stop there. If that's all that Jesus is to you, if he's just the one you believed on for your salvation and then you've kind of gone on from there and you've got distant from him, well, guess what? You've missed the whole point of why he came. He didn't just come to save us. He came to sanctify us as well. He came to now, as a Christian, now he has come to make us more perfect. You say, how do you know that? Well, look in the next verse here. The next verse in verse 8, it says, "Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. So you realize, what did Jesus do? He came to take away the first, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, and obeying all of God's laws. He took away the law of Moses. Why? He fulfilled it, not to take it away, to do away with it, but he came to fulfill it, because we couldn't. Could we keep all 10 of those commandments our whole life? I was just talking with some people on Thursday night at Meadowview about that, and one man said, well, he said, I think that's the whole reason, you know, that's what we have to do. We just have to believe in God and do the 10 commandments. I said, well, what about Jesus? What did Jesus do? He said, well, Jesus, I don't really think that Jesus is the Son of God, and I don't know if he can, you know, I don't see how. I think we just need to do the 10 commandments. So I actually took him to Romans 3 and showed him, well, wait, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's not the means by which to be saved. It shows us that we can't be saved by ourselves. It shows us our inability. And so he said, oh, wow. And so this man, he was thinking all through that. And then I showed him some other verses about Christ. I said, you need to have faith that the Son of God, Jesus, whom you're saying, well, he's not that important. I said, sir, with all due respect, if you don't believe on Jesus, there's no way for you to be saved. You're saved. And when you die, you will die in your sins and go to hell. If you scorn the Son of God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And he thought on that for a while, and then I showed him some verses about Christ and what he did, and I said, you need to believe that he is the Son of God and that he is the Savior. And so after about 30 minutes, this man finally got to the point where he said, you know what, you're right. I need to humble myself and trust God's word more than I'm trusting my own understanding. And sure enough, he did. He humbled himself, and he, after about a half hour, he prayed and trusted Christ as a Savior. And this is a man who said, I'm dying. My sister, she's dying. I'm dying. And I don't know how much time I have left. And this man named Al, he trusted Christ. So pray for Al. Pray for him to now grow and come to the services there at Meadowview. But you'd be surprised how many people are all around us, right on our doorstep, literally, our neighbors, our loved ones, our friends, your coworkers that are just, they're wrestling with this. And they're saying that they've heard something along the lines. It's not true. And they're just clinging to that untruth. And it's going to damn them to a devil's hell for all eternity. That's where the Word of God comes in. We need to show them, hey, you know what? I believe that you're very sincere about that belief, but you know what? It's possible to be sincerely wrong. If it's against what the Bible says, guess what? You are sincerely wrong. Right. You're wrong. There is only one truth, and that is God's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're not believing in God's truth, you're believing a lie. And we need to tell people, share with them how they can get away from the lie and go to the Bible, which is the truth. And sure enough, that will set them free. The truth shall set them free. So here we see number three. Jesus came to establish the New Testament blood of his atonement for our sins. And he offers complete forgiveness and complete sanctification for the Christian. We see verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified. That word sanctified means made more holy. Do you realize you and I are being made more holy the more we yield ourselves to Christ every day? You say, well, what if I'm not doing so good at that right now? What if I haven't been reading the Bible? And I know it's the truth of God, and I'm sorry, I've been leaving it on the shelf and haven't been reading it. Well, God can't sanctify us unless we are letting him, okay? And he will. He'll chasten us. You say, well, how can he sanctify me if I'm not reading the Bible? Well, he'll have to do it by chastening, or by having to get our attention another way, or by, you know, the only way we hear it in church on Sunday, you know? But that's not the best way. We need to be able to be in the Word every day so that we are reminded of God's truth so he can sanctify them, sanctify us. How? Through thy truth. Amen. That's what it says, John 17:17. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? Okay, I was just listening to a message by my dad this morning as I was in the van picking up some people, and as I was in the van, he said he made this point. He was talking about prayer. It was back in 2003, message on prayer. He said prayer is important. Or no, it was a message on the God of Judgment. He said prayer is important, but he said that's not all the Christian life is prayer. If we are only praying, he says, we are not remembering what God told us. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That we're missing out on the other half of the Christian life, which is the truth of the word of God. God will sanctify us. He'll make us more holy through the word of God as we let it into our minds and think on it and meditate on it. I like what Lamar, he's been sharing verses with me. He said, I've been memorizing this verse, and he just spouts out this verse without his Bible open, how does he do? Because working on memorizing verses. You know, that's something we all should be doing, is working on memorizing verses. Why? Because you never know when you're going to be in a desperate situation in your life and you're going to need that verse to cling to. Why? Because that's how Christ is sanctifying. That's how he's growing us closer and closer to him. You say, what is sanctification? That means to be made more holy. The word of God is making us more holy every day we live. Little bit by little bit, we're growing. We're growing. We're growing week by week. We're growing closer to God. And that's what Jesus said. He said, by the which will we are sanctified or made more holy through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. We are set apart because we are now saved by Christ's body. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You realize what Jesus did? He only had to die one time. But that, Pastor, that's not what I learned at in my upbringing. That's not what I learned at in my religion class or CCD or this church I went to when I was little. I learned that Christ is kind of needs help. He has to be sacrificed week after week after week. Is that what Jesus said? Is that what God's word says? No, Jesus is so powerful in that he died once for all sin. One time, Bobby had just read in his Bible lesson with Daddy just before bedtime the words, if I had not come, Jesus spoke those words, if I had not come. When he thought he awoke Christmas morning, there was no stocking or holly wreath. He went for a walk on Christmas morning and found factories busy at work. He went to the orphanage and found only a vacant lot. Then he went to his church and found a for sale sign with, if I had not come, written at the bottom. Again, he found these words over a gatepost of an empty lot where he went to find a hospital. Disconsolate, he ran home and picked up his Bible, but all the last part of the book had blank pages. He awoke, and lo, it was a dream. Do you wonder he slipped down on his knees and said, oh, dear Jesus, I am so glad that you did come. Help me to tell others about you. If Jesus had not come and said, yes, Father, I will obey. I will come to earth. And not only I will obey, but I will do it willingly. If Jesus had not come to earth as a baby, you realize we'd have none of the above. Probably no hospitals, no places where they take care of people, no places of love, no churches, no nothing. We probably had digressed as a human race to the point of just war, violence, bloodshed. Probably very few people left over there by this point. And that's if Jesus had not come, but he has come. So we have the greatest message in all the world to share with people, but they need the truth. They don't need another lie. They don't need another religious person saying, oh yeah, just believe sincerely in whatever you're believing. No. People who are believing the wrong thing, it's not the Bible, they're sincerely going to go to hell without Christ, but yet they're still believing. So it's not being sincere that saves us. It's being saved that saves us. And then being sanctified. As we grow in our Christian life, we need the Word of God. Don't just pray. Read the Bible and pray. Well, it's too hard, Pastor. You don't understand. It's hard to pick up that book. You know what D.L. Moody said about it? He said, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. Do you realize why it's so hard for us at times in our Christian life? And I'll be honest, I'm there too at times. Why is it so hard for us in the morning pick up our Bible off the shelf? Why is it so much easier to do something else? To go take a shower, to do this, to do that, to go to breakfast, go to work, turn on TV, do whatever else. Why is it so much easier? Because there's some sin in our life that's keeping us from wanting to read it. That's why it's so important to confess our sins daily to the Lord and walk with Him daily so that we have that joy of running to His Word each day. Almost everyone has told us what is wrong with the church, but I believe the church is right. And as a church member, I want to tell you what I think is right with the church. I think the church is right because it has taught me about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My church has taught me about the Bible. My church has given me faith. It has taught me how to pray. The church has taught me to appreciate all the good things which have been showered upon me. In my early youth, I believed that food and clothing and the luxuries of life were mine because I was alive. Now I know that God has given me these things because of His love. As a man, I would like to know who has been good to me. The church has helped me find peace, so I am content whatever my state may be. The church has continually influenced my life and always in the right direction. The church has given me friends, real friends. When all other friends forsook me because material resources had dwindled away, the church continued to welcome me, and I believe put just a little more warmth in their welcome than before. As I look back, I see the wonderful many things it has done for others. Countless thousands who have faith and hope in life today because of the church, said by a church member at Trenton, New Jersey. That's what we are, the church. We are here for each other to help one another grow closer to God. And as pastor, my job is to point you to the Lord through the Word of God and prayer. And if I'm not doing that, then I am not doing my job, and you better hire somebody else. Because that's what one day when we stand before God says the books shall be opened. What are the books? Well, the book of life. See if your name's in there. See if you're saved. And then all the books of the Bible and the books of works are going to be opened. All the works we've done in our life. And then the books of the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible are going to be opened. And we're going to be judged according to it. So that's why it's so important to read the Bible each day. Because we want to know what we're going to be judged on each day so we can live a better Christian life and be more sanctified. Christ will sanctify us. But which way do you want to be sanctified? Through His chastening or through His blessing? So let us run to His blessing and to His truth, the Word of God. Let us bow together in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning. You say, Pastor Wright, you know, I don't know 100% for sure if I were to die today, if I'm saved or not. If I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, but I would like to know Him, that you just slip up your hand, put me quiet right there, receive. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I know the Lord. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I'm so thankful that He came for me and all these wonderful reasons why He came. I'm so thankful for Jesus. And I just want to let Him know that today. I'm thankful. I want this Christmas to be about Him and what He did, and not on me and what I can do. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Amen. Amen. I want this Christmas, God bless you, God bless you, this Christmas to be about Jesus and what He did, not about me and what I can do. I want to praise Him. Perhaps as a Christian you say, Pastor, I'm sad a little bit because I realize I'm losing days in my life that not being as close to Jesus as I should be because I'm neglecting His truth in His Word. And I realize He wants to sanctify me through it, and and I want to let him do that as the Word of God. I want to let him do that. That you just slip up your hand, quick and quiet, right there, receive. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let us redouble our efforts together as a church. We are, as a church body, we are powerful because Christ is powerful. And he can help us to do what is right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be reminded of these great truths from your word. Help us to tell others of what you have done for us this Christmas. I pray that next week, next Sunday, that we'd have many out, visitors out, as we share our faith with them, as they see that Christ can change them from where they're at to where they should be, and to save them from hell to heaven. Lord, I pray you'd help us have boldness this week, that we'd get that boldness each day from your word, as we're reminded in the pages of Scripture the importance of living for you. I pray you just bless us this week. Help us to help others come to you and come to church. We pray you bless tonight's service as well, Lord, as we look at the life of David, how you protected him, sheltered him, and your providence guided him. Lord, help us to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book as we close this service. Number 535 in the blue hymn book, Room at the Cross. There's room at the cross for you. Would you come as we sing? Maybe the Lord spoke to you in some way. Would you come and just kneel at the altar and say, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in my life. I love you. I want to tell you how much I love you. Would you come as we sing? God loves us, and to also know that He expects things of us, and to live in light of that, to raise our responsibility to obey Him. What a joy we get from what He does. Let us close in prayer, and we invite you back tonight at 7 o'clock. And next Sunday is the Christmas dinner, so if everyone can please once again check the list, make sure if you're not on there, to be on there for attendance, and then also to sign up for something, so that way everyone knows what they're making for next Sunday, and we invite everyone to come for that. And then Wednesday night as well, 7 o'clock, and then following Tuesday, we're having Christmas dinner, so that's right for them. All right, let's close it for us this time. Brother Jerry.